Here's how I look at it. I was just talking to Dave. We have done a lot more meetings with our staff. We did quite a few last year, but because of the extended time, I mean, 2.5 hours in the afternoon with the defense, or in the offense, two and a half hours with the defense in the morning. So we're getting all these conversations taking place. And then Dave and the scouts were leaving, and I told our staff, you know, it's kind of a cool process. We're helping Dave and the scouting staff prepare so that when it comes to draft day, they have a clear mind to perform and make the right decisions. It's just like a game week for us. And I think we're getting to the point right now where it's that, where when you're really prepared, when you have an idea, you know, how things are going to fall out, there's always going to be some things that pop up, but, you know, you're in a good state.
With all this extra time, no player's perfect, so try not to second guess yourself and say, you know what we want to do. Is that hard?
There is a little bit. I mean, you go back and you say, we had this guy rated a little bit higher than him. We've got an extra 4 days here. Let's take another look. And, you know, but I think sometimes you got to be careful. You can overanalyze things, too, and just really trust how you saw it. Go by off of film. You might hear different things and come back. But I think you just got to stay really strong, but be open enough to, you know, question some things.
How did your knowledge of the team on the field, having been through a year with the roster now, affect how you went about being a part of the draft?
Well, it's really good because, you know, I think so much of the draft, and Dave and I talked about this, I think there's a perception you say, we're going to take best available. That's all we're going to do, just take best available. And you'd like to do that, but needs do play a part of it. And I think that's what I learned through this is, hey, we've got to take our needs into account, and then with that in mind, take best available. And we'll see, you know, how it shakes out. Unless someone really good shows up there that isn't a particular need, and we feel like, hey, we can really capture that opportunity.
So you know where the needs are better now.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Different is it from last year, Gus? I mean, last year at the second pick, you knew you were going to take one of two guys.
Right.
You know, this year there's so many guys who can help.
It is different. You know? It is different because there's a lot of guys. This is a very strong class, especially in the first 10, 15 picks. You know, guys jump out at you. So you can't control the first two things. And then, okay, if these scenarios happen, now it's just not one maybe. There's four or five guys that you're really looking at and studying. And then on top of it, what happens if you trade down a certain number of spots? Then what? So, you know, I think that brought more drama than maybe it did last year.
You like this better, or do you?
I like this better.
You do?
Yeah.
Because why?
It's intriguing to me. Now, obviously, last year was great. You get a guy like Luke Jokel at number two, a guy that we feel is going to play for a long time, and it's really clean, great pick. That's awesome. But all these guys have that trait, you know, that we're looking at. They're really clean. They're really talented. And so to go back and forth and have these discussions and guys show their views, I think it just strengthens us. So if we do decide to go this area, that maybe in the second round, third round, because of those discussions we create, it will help us in those rounds.
You talked a lot last year about wanting to have bring in guys who love to play the game.
Right.
Has that having a year in now, has that changed at all in terms of where that trait is?
Yes, it's better. And I, you know what? Away from the draft right now, our 10 free agents that we brought in, I feel that same spirit. You know, guys like Toby Gerhart, just talking to him in the locker room. You know, and we talked about that as a staff today, that you're sensing that. You're sensing that. And now we have 11 opportunities in the draft. Let's just keep adding guys, you know, that will, you know, build our culture.
But is that still the top thing on your list that you're looking for?
Well, they're, you know, obviously talented. You know, if they're very talented. But if they have, I think it gets to the point where if you have guys evenly evaluated and you look at the spirit and the things like that, their love of the game, that can put them over the edge.
Hey, Gus, how good is the number three pick out? Is there pressure? Is he supposed to be a Pro Bowl, or is he supposed to be, I mean?
Well, I think it's just, you know, a really good pick, a guy that can play for quite a while for you. You know, that you can count on, really consistent player. And, you know, that can really add value to the team. I don't know, you know, you get into Pro Bowl and things like that, that's really difficult. But a guy that's going to start for a long time that we feel good about, that we can kind of bypass that as a specific need for years to come, that'd be great.
With only two picks in front of you, you've gone through every scenario. When it comes to the Jaguars' time on the clock, are you already going to know exactly what you're going to do? Or is there going to be a big discussion? Are you going to wait for the phone to ring?
Well, I think that if, you know, if we stay at three, we've gone through a lot of the scenarios and we'll look at it, and it still might come up to be one of these two guys. But I just think, you know, Dave is really sharp. I mean, that's what Shad Khan hired him for, was because he's such a strong evaluator. And for me, I saw it more like, during this time that we're in now, I'm going to challenge Dave and the scouts and say, well, how about this? Probably similar to what you would do. You'd sit in and say, well, if this guy left, then what and why? But you feel a strong conviction. And I think I'm at a point now where I just totally trust him. And he's good enough to come in and say, Gus, here's the scenario. Here's what I'm thinking. Are you good with it? And if there's any hesitation for me, I'll just say, hey, I trust you. Make the decision.
You almost can't go wrong with as many good players as there are.
There are.
I mean, no matter who you take, they're going to be good and you need them.
Right. I think, you know, especially in the first couple rounds, I think where we really need to do well is in those middle rounds. You know, I was looking at the other night where I saw a lot of teams with their fourth round picks. You know, it's like one out of every four. You know, one was on the injury reserve. Another one didn't make the active 53. Another one didn't do, you know, it's like, God, we have some fourth round picks where if you can do a little bit better than the average, you know, you're doing well here. So I think those middle rounds, if anything, this time has given us more opportunity to concentrate on that.
You know, you see mock drafts and mock drafts, but you see Mac, first round, Garoppolo, second round, hasn't played strong competition. How important is that to you?
Well, I think competition does, you know, the level of competition they play at. Because obviously for us, we'd like to have guys have the opportunity to come in and compete at a high level right away. And, you know, or at least have that chance to. So you look at, but when you can see Mac against teams like Ohio State and some of these guys, and when you see him compete against other teams at that level and do well, then you know, you have to make some projections that they could do it. It's going to take a lot of guys' time, especially as a rusher. That generally takes some time for a rusher to come in as a rookie. I know Alden Smith did it, but for the most part, it takes a little bit of time for them to get up to, you know, the stats that you're looking for, where it's 10-plus sacks. So, you know, I think, you know, you got to understand that regardless of the level they played at, it does take time, but the higher level generally a little bit faster.
Is draft day at all like a game day for you?
Yes. I mean, yeah, it's great.
Up.
Yeah, fire it up. You as a coach, you always want more, right? Why can't we have eight first-round picks? What? We just drafted, and now it's over for us until tomorrow? It feels a little bit empty, but it's good. You know, and I think, too, is the discussions. You know, Dave and I have talked about our personality. You know, in-house, he's more conservative, and I'm more risky, you know, take chances. Outside the building, he's more risky, I'm more conservative. You know, so even inside and out, it really meshes really well. And I think knowing that, you can understand our personalities as we go through this process. You know, let's take a chance and do this. Let's take a, you know. And he's more the calming force and saying, okay. But I think it's a good balance. It's a good balance.
Would you like to see somebody take a quarterback before you pick?
You know, I don't know. We haven't even talked about that. You know, we have our guys targeted. And,
but if somebody else took a quarterback, that would slide some guys.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. Would not surprise me.
But what's most important? Is it what they did on film? You know, for instance, a guy like Bridgewater, great film, bad pro day, didn't work out at the combine. What's most important?
Well, I think you try to, and you know us as coaches, we're probably over-analytical. You look at the body of work, and some guys do really well during the season, and then they have a pro day and maybe don't perform as well. And you try to find out why. What's the truth? And sometimes it might be anxiety, and you say, well, you know, once you take that anxiety away, it goes back to this is what you're getting on tape. And you can really overanalyze things. You can. And players are the same way. They got this one chance to perform. And you can look at it multiple ways. Well, if he had this one chance and didn't do very well, how is he going to do for us? Or once we leave that anxiety, now we got a guy that does really well. And it's hard, but I think the game tape. I think the game tape is what's most important.
Yeah, is that the hardest part of the job? I mean, a guy who looks like a football player, but then the guy next to him has immeasurables. He's bigger, taller, faster. Is that the most difficult part?
Yeah, it is, because you get intrigued by that. you know, height, weight, size, speed. You see that, and you go to the combine, you see him do drill work. But I think being in, you know, the NFL for a few number of years, I guess I should say, that I've seen those things take place where height, weight, speed, let's take them, and it doesn't work out very well. So I think you really got to trust what you see on tape.
Based on your experience, Gus, have you been surprised on draft day before? And is there anything tomorrow that, or next Thursday that could surprise
Oh, there's going to be surprises. There's going to be surprises. I think there's
literally go.
Yeah, I think there's. We're going to be surprised who's there for us in the second round. I think without a doubt. I think we'll be surprised who's there in the third round and in the fourth round. And those are the conversations that, you know, if everything falls into place like it is on the board. And last year, it was like that. I mean, the board just it went off just like the draft. I was like, yeah. I mean, that doesn't play. It looks like we're on it. You know, so you have those, but this year might be even, you know, a little bit more different. And that's what Dave and I conversation. Gus, don't be surprised if he's there. And even though we projected this guy a little bit higher, don't be surprised if he's taken even earlier. You know, you're going to have those surprises
so
this year.
Are you going to sit on, we're taking the best player regardless of position as the draft progresses?
Well, I said, you know, this need is going to play somewhat into it. We still like to have that philosophy of taking the best available. But, you know, need's going to play.
A couple more guys.
You feel like you found the guy in the week that you spent in Mobile as opposed to sitting in the stands and
watching
everything?
That was great, Al. That was great to sit there and visit with them and talk to them. And, you know, it was not only, I mean, I got a chance to go watch them in meetings, but then pull them aside. And, so, I mean, we would sit in the lobby of the hotel and talk for, you know, well, 8 or 9 of them for over an hour and just sat and just had good conversation. It wasn't timed. It wasn't 15 minutes. It wasn't with 8 people in there. It was just one-on-one. And I think that it gave you an opportunity to get really real with them and they could get real with you. And that's really all you're after, and say, hey, this is what we're about, and, you know, this is what you're about, and it'd be a good fit.
I remember last year at camp, you said that you'd watch guys come in, who they sit with, sit alone, sit with teammates, things like that. Are you able to pick up things like that in between plays, being out on the practice field at the senior bowl?
Yes. You know, just, again, being around them all the time in meeting rooms, you know, their ability to take notes. Their ability to concentrate in meetings, all those, the conversations they had with coaches. I just think you find out more information. You can't help it when you're with them for a week. You know, they can't have their guard up all the time. And I think you just get a chance to really get a closer view of who this person is. You know, you talked earlier, the juniors, has that made it more demanding on you? I think it has. Maybe not as much for us because we were at the Senior Bowl. But probably for most teams, it will. I mean, you got another 100 guys that are thrown into the mix that you're evaluating. You know, it takes time.